prayer for self-esteem. Dear Mother and Father God, let my true essence shine through. Let my true beauty of my soul bloom in thy sight. Let the Christ consciousness show me not only my purpose, but also the estimation of my true self. Let me not be fettered by false ego, but rather allow me to bask in my own spiritual essence, which is my truth and my purpose. Do not allow me to fail by false guilt and false criticism. Let my essence magnify your will and help me live my life of spiritual service. Amen.
Again, I'm going to have to do something. Maybe I need to change the channel on this. I'm in my parents' condominium here in Florida. And for some reason, wires have quite an issue. Wireless devices have quite an issue here. I'm not sure why. But, 518.200 megahertz and smells. Both on the same frequency. Maybe if I switch to the other. Let's see if I switch frequencies. This may cause a problem for you, audience. I hope you don't have to cover your ears. Oh, no? Frequency. Sorry about this. Let's see. Let's get back to where we were. Stored. Calling. Advanced. Exit. Sorry about this. Advanced. Menu. Now. Sensitivity. Girdle. Now. Advanced. Tune. Yeah. Hello? Am I back? I changed it a little bit. Oops. I hope I edited that noise out, or else it probably was rather annoying. But those of you who are long-term fans of my show, and I'm not sure why you would be, but you're probably used to that kind of sound. Let's see, I guess I'll put this transmitter in my pocket. I think it sounds better on this other frequency holder. Maybe there's... Oh, fuck me. There it is again. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here with this. I think this show will all be about frequency. And holding of said frequency. Huh. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, there must be really thick walls in this apartment or condominium that I'm in because maybe it's right because it's right above the beach. Maybe that's why. I don't know. Do you know? Anyway, I'm. Gonna take the headphones off. I'm sorry if I don't seem in the world's best mood today. It's because I'm not. I'm just having some issues related to, let's just say, finance and weight. My fat hurts, mostly. And, see, there was another... I saw another thingamajig. Hold on, I'm going to make a bigger change to this frequency thing, and I'll be right back. Really. I'm also going to take out the noise. That you hopefully didn't hear, because I edited it out. All right, so I changed it again, this time to a much more different frequency. Let's do the hokey pokey, turn myself around and see how that goes. Of course, I'm still within a few feet of the receiver, maybe that's why. At least it gives me something to talk about, because I really don't. Well, I kind of do. I actually have a list, but it's probably not. I was talking about how my fat hurts. I'll be honest with you, you know, it's hard when you're a lesbian. A lot of the reason I haven't been doing programs regularly is because I suffer from depression. I know this comes as a great shock to many of you. However, I do. Now, the thing is, it's really hard to podcast when you're depressed. So, one of the greatest challenges are, and the past podcasts I have, honestly, I wasn't depressed. I think I'm less depressed when I'm at my home, you know, my routine, and I have my regular thus and so, and everything's fine, you know, that kind of thing. My yoga, my this, my that, my the other, mostly the other. And when I'm taken out of that routine, for whatever reason, everything's my fault, then I start to get a little prolapsed about it. And so I usually wait till I'm in a better mood to podcast. Lately, that's where my mind has been, but it used to be when I used to do the show every day, I just did it anyway and it would turn into some sort of therapy. Kind of like when I do yoga and I don't feel like it, or if I do pretty much anything I don't feel like, I usually feel better afterwards. So this is a little new for me because I'm truly doing it at a time when I don't want to, which is right now. But, you know, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying. I want to get back in the swing of things. Let's see here. So there was this, France has been trying to take back Mali because there's like Al-Qaeda there, they're saying, which I find a little weird, but I don't know anything about it yet except from what I was briefly listening to Democracy Now!, but I got sidetracked because I was trying to figure out what the new co-host, not really new, but today's co-host looks like, because it's not Sharifa Kadabal al-Qaddoush, and it's also not that one with the eyebrows, what's her name, Noreen Sheikh. Which each time she's on, she has a harder chech at the end of her name. So it's neither of them. Aaron Maté. So I was thinking, like, what does this guy look like? I need to figure it out. That's what I was thinking instead of listening to the program about what they were talking about, which was Mali. So I don't know. So that's something I'll have to read about later. And, yeah. What else? Mama. What is this? Mama Lotion by Mammy Tatinkin. I just found a DVD. This is bizarre. A DVD just now. This must be a, whatever you call it, either synchronicity or failure, whatever. It's a DVD, a CD, I guess, called Mama Lotion with Mandy Patinkin, and he's like making the Oy Vey symbol in front of an American flag. Where in front of the star, this looks weird. Oh my God, how weird. Song of the Titanic, doomed lovers refusing to separate, ask God why. Muttle the operator, a tailor working in a sweatshop to support his family, is killed in a union strike. Under Your White Stars, a Holocaust song. American tune, Our Journey to America, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, God Bless America. Their altered Sitz Gainer, the old gypsy fiddler, plays an unimaginable tune, White Christmas. Often Pripetschick. Children learn their ABCs. What the fuck is this? You realize I'm going to have to play something from this. Bells, remembering a little town called Bells. Hey, Tzigalich. Let's see. A rabbi gets drunk, makes music, and celebrates chleif. Raisins and almonds. Paparosin. A boy sells cigarettes to survive the war. 10 kopecks. A guy wants 10 pennies to romance his girl. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, the Hokey Pokey, and Maria, Mine Girl, Mine Merle. Not sure which one to play. Probably the Song of the Titanic, Doomed Lovers Refusing to Separate, Ask God Why. I think that's the one. Or Mottle the Operator, or Taylor. I know I already said this. A tailor working in a sweatshop to support his family is killed in a union strike. Those both sound pretty good to me. So we'll see at the end what happens to that. Anyway, I was talking about my fat hurting. So, yeah. More cardio. you know, more exercise in general. So that's, you know, working on it. I guess I'll do some cardio after I finish this program, unless I get sidetracked by any number of things. Let's see here. Okay, my list. So Molly, we didn't talk about because I don't know what's going on. It just sounded kind of weird that France was taking over an old colony. It's very retro. You know how I love France, too. Let's see. Where is my list? Reminders. Okay. Oh, no, not that. Let's see. Yeast topics. Zero Dark 40. Is that... or Zero Dark 30. I don't know what it is. Zero Dark something, that movie. I saw it. And I'm a little bit perplexed by the discussion I see in social media about this film. Now, from what I understand, from what I've read, this is a film based on what the writers and producers, directors, etc., gathered to be the facts of how this bin Laden raid and murder went down. Now, obviously, I don't know if it's true or not, but the producers claim it's true. They claim they got sources from very high levels, and that Obama approved them or something like that, and the CIA gave them these sources. Now, since then... oh, I still see I'm getting some of these spikes from the interference. Oh, well, you just have to live with it. More like, I'll have to live with it. Maybe if I turn it in the other direction. Anyway, so, where was I? So, yeah, so, spikes. I hate technical problems like this. It makes me so angry. Where was I? Nowhere. Oh. Yeah, so, Zero Dark 30, right. What is this thing? Oh, it's a pen. Oh, God, I get so sidetracked when I'm depressed. Wednesday. So, we have a situation in which Mama Lotion, which is Manny Patinkin's new album, is on my mind. Now, JK. Maybe if I take this, maybe it's looping and that's the problem. I'll stop looping the mic. I mean a physical loop. Because it's a lavalier, you know? Maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. I doubt it. Okay. So, Mama Lotion. God, I'm really just brain farting. This is depression, getting in my brain. This is what it does. It just makes your brain go... So, Catherine Bigelow and her other people, they wrote this based on some sources that are high level that the government didn't seem to really deny until controversy about the film came out after it was premiered. And basically what the film purports to be the truth is that many people were tortured, and that is how the U.S. government found out where bin Laden was hiding so that they could kill him. This is the story they tell. It's also the story that that was not the only source, but it's clearly part of the story. The story that the directors tell is that bin Laden, or Bing Laden, as I like to say, ba-ba-ba-bing, was caught in a, you know, to a great extent by what they call torture or harsh interrogation or whatever it's called. So then you have people who are against torture. Obviously I am. A lot of people are, I think. Saying, well, but no, this is pro-torture. This is pro-torture. You know, this encourages torture because you're saying that torture was good. But this is, I find strange to me, because what you're doing is you're blurring the line between fiction and truth. You know, just because what happened isn't the way you liked it doesn't mean it isn't what happened. In other words, because you may believe, and I do believe, that torture is an inexcusable way to get information. The fact of the matter is, according to these people, and if this movie is true, then that did, however, work. Now, by telling that story accurately, and not burying it, you're not in any way saying torture is good or bad. You're just telling a story of what happened as accurately as you can. And I find it bothers me that so many people would sort of blur this distinction and not really think it matters. Like, what matters is the impression, not the truth. And I think this is a problem that we have a lot in media, especially in so-called news, is that true, it doesn't matter what's true. What matters is the propagandistic aspect of it, like what people are going to think, you know. Are you basically going to make people think from this movie that torture is good or torture is bad, regardless of the truth? And if the truth is you're going to make people think torture is good, then you better change the truth so that torture didn't happen in this story. But that's dishonest. And, yeah. It's sort of like in the same way I don't like Fox News, and even when I see Rachel Maddow, I really don't watch Rachel Maddow unless there's a particular, you know, clip on there I should watch, because I feel like what she's doing is acting as a propaganda arm for the president, in a way, because she defends things sometimes that are really hard to defend, and she, you know, plays these sort of, you know, difficult kind of lawyer techniques in order to do that. You know, and I just want somebody who's going to tell the truth as much as possible. Everybody's biased. And more, even I find Democracy Now biased. And it's just tricky. Especially when you talk about the Iranian or the Egyptian Revolution and all this. And, you know, people want to be on the side of the Palestinian. I find that like the extreme progressives want to be on the side of the Palestinians always, regardless of that fact that sometimes they are at fault, and, you know, and sometimes they do fire rockets, you know, and to sort of gloss over that is the kind of thing I'm talking about too. You know, to accurately tell news, I think you have to tell both sides of the story and make it clear that this is not an easy situation. This is not a clear-cut situation where there's one right and one wrong. That's not the world. That's just not real. But I think because we have it in front of us so much, I don't know. I think what it comes down to is journalists need to tell the truth. Now, you could say Zero Dark 30 or 40 or whatever the fuck it is. It's probably 30 stone, which is probably what I weigh, but that, you know, that is not journalism, but they're claiming it's a fictionalization of what the truth is. And, you know, in my opinion, if that's what they're doing, then they're doing a good job. They're doing it to the best that they can, telling the accurate story. I don't know if that, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're lying. Maybe they really did make up all the torture. I don't know. But that's not really the point. The point for me is that, the point is I'm bothered by people looking at this in terms of what the propagandistic impression it's going to give people is, instead of whether or not it's the truth, and letting people decide based on the truth. And I think the assumption here is that people are so stupid that you can't give them the truth, because they will only make the decision based on what you want it to, what you want them to make. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by an email. Let me turn this Grum Holder thing off. What is it? Now I have to read it. It's some, like, let's see here. Okay. Let's see. What else was on my list? So we've discussed one item on my list. Zero Dark 30. Porn Shoot Duty Lips Twitter. Oh, yeah, so, you know, I'm here shooting what they call thug pornography, which is really embarrassing, but this is what I've been doing for a living. for the time being in America since I came back, because I missed home, so I decided to go back to doing something very sleazy. And so I come in there, and they'll just... I come to do this shoot, and this one, let's call him a, quote, model, was very upset with me, and he was giving me attitude, as the kids call it, you know. And he said, "Listen, Madge, I got a bone to pick with you because you posted a picture of me on Twitter making a duty." And I said, "Oh, you're not supposed to see my Twitter. How do you know about my Twitter sheet?" He said, "So-and-so told me." I said, "Oh, well, did you see your face on it, on the picture?" He said, "No." I said, "Then how do you know it was you and that was you dutying?" He said, "Because I remember." And I said, "Well, that's what happened." Because I sometimes tell people that what I do for a living, which is so embarrassing. And sometimes I try not to tell people anymore, but when I used to tell people, or if they, you know, press me for it, I say, "Yeah, this is horrible." They say, "Wow, that's amazing, because, you know, it must be cool. I love to watch." I'm like, "Are you serious? Do you really think it's fun to, like, watch people accidentally shit because, you know, they're getting penetrated by a humongous penis? And then it gets their duty out of them? No." And then, oh my God, see, this is why I'm depressed. It's dark. And I'm not talking about the duty, this is the situation that I'm in. It's dark. It's ugly. The pornographic world is dark and ugly and disgusting sometimes. And, the redeeming qualities are as follows. Okay, we're done with that. So, I said, so that was it. So his face wasn't in it. By the way, my Twitter sheet is just Bloated Lesbian. So you just do Twitter. I'm @BloatedLesbian on Twitter. Okay, now, we have to talk about Les Miserables. I know this is a subject of much contention with people. And, oh, I can't do this DVD because I don't have my DVD recorder in my holder. I mean, I took out my DVD player from my MacBook Pro and replaced it with a second hard drive. Anyway, no Mandy Patinkin for you unless I decide to pay a dollar to download it, which I imagine isn't worth it. Anyway, So, Mandy Patinkin. Oh, yeah, so Les Miserables. Yeah, so I really saw it, and I thought it was just so laughably, almost pleasingly bad. And, I know it won the Golden Globe for Best Musical and or Comedy. Okay, fine. But the thing is, it wasn't, aside from Russell Crowe, who was just sad in his attempt to sing. It just made me sad. It didn't bother me that much as it was sad. Because... And I think what bothers a lot of people who are called bitter, like, let's say, singers and other people in a show business, I'm speaking for no one, and I'm not considering myself in show business at all, because I'm not. But I think what might bother some people who are accused of being bitter and say, "Oh, Russell Crowe can't sing," and they say, "But you're just bitter." Well, the problem is there's so many people that are talented that can sing. There's probably a million people that can sing better than him. And it's kind of insulting to the craft, and I'm not speaking, I hope I'm not speaking incorrectly for people, but it seems very disrespectful to the craft to get somebody who can't even sing. It can't be that hard to get somebody who can sing and act at least decently. But anyway, so that's fine, but that wasn't it for me. You know, it wasn't the performances themselves that were bad. I thought they were kind of okay. It's just that the movie itself, to me, was absolutely dead. And like I've said online on my social Twitter media, that I didn't see the musical, but I've listened to it a million times in both English and in French. I thought the French was better, but, and it always kind of made me laugh because the men are so, like, melodramatically bad. You know, like, it's just horrible. And so, already you're walking into this thing with a horrible piece of, you know, musical theater that sucks. But everybody loves it because it's so emotional and campy and, you know, and it makes you emote. And that's fine, I guess. But I certainly made myself listen to it a number of times. The difference is I don't listen to it because I like it. I listen to it because I take a perverse pleasure in hating something that much. Kind of like other things I do online, you know. I'm focused on things that kind of make me sick sometimes. You can guess what those are. It's just a sick thing about me. But I just felt like the movie, first of all, the adaptation to fit, well, I won't talk about the adaptation since I didn't see the musical, but the sets were just ridiculously bad. It was like, here's a barricade, you know, here is a bunch of coffins and bikes. Not, I don't know, there were bikes, maybe desks, and this is our barricade. We're going to have five people that represents all of Paris. There was just, like, no soul to it at all. It was just like, it was like looking at a dead fish, this movie, to me. It was like looking at a dead fish, or even a live fish, maybe a live fish, with its eyes just kind of sticking out. You're like, here are these people singing about what? I'm not really quite sure. And... well, I know what they were singing about. They were singing about the French Revolution, but it was just like, it was just so flatlined and dead. It was almost like creepy, ghost-like. And, you know, they had these wonderful performances, but it's, I don't know. It just, to me, it was like Frankenstein, but they never gave it the juice to bring it to life. I don't know. What else can I say about that? It was ridiculous and horrible, and I'll probably watch it again just to torture myself. But, and I will admit, I was probably making a porno DVD at the time, probably like Raw Cum Dumpsters number 90, taking this jizz down my something or other. But that's, so that could be, could be partially why I'm jaded about it. Just maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, and my last topic for the day is waiting for masturbating. This is the worst part of my job. I waited about 45 minutes for this porn, quote, model to achieve orgasm, and this is what I do. This is most of my job. I sit there at 11 o'clock at night, wanting to go home, tired, waiting for somebody to figure out a way to ejaculate, and it's awful. So, in closing, I guess I have to say FML. I've talked for 27 minutes somehow. 28, and I don't really feel any better, so I guess I'll have to exercise or something. I feel very FML'd, and for a song, I don't really want to pay for Mandy Patinkin singing some garbage. Let's see, what do I have here that I can play for you, maybe?
Now, male sex anatomy is mainly outside the body. Consists of the penis and the skin sac or scrotum that holds the testicles. You know, I get so many people who will say to me, Dr. Liswood, what's the average size of the relaxed penis? Well, scientists have come up with a measure, and now you know exactly what the measure is. The penis measures about 2.5 to 3 inches in length. I don't expect you to run back and measure, but I think that it's very important for you to relax. People will worry about the size of the penis. I know that your friends like to brag, and I don't want to deflate them in any way, but please believe me, it doesn't matter what the size of the penis is. All we care about is that it functions. And you have to understand that once you're relaxed, once you feel comfortable, once you feel at ease, you're going to be able to function very nicely. Almost 99% of all men who worry about themselves, worry about their potency, when they're examined, they found they're perfectly normal. It's a psychic impotency. So please don't worry about it and don't be concerned about the size of the penis. The penis is made up of a shaft or body and a head of the penis that we call glans penis, G-L-A-N-S. The body has many large blood vessels. The head of the penis has smaller blood vessels. During sexual excitement, These blood vessels become filled with blood, and because there are larger blood vessels in the body of the penis, the body of the penis is much more rigid than the head of the penis, so that when the penis enters the vagina, it can't possibly do any damage to the vaginal canal. Since the vaginal canal is a curved canal, when the penis becomes erect, it forms an angle to conform to the configuration of the vaginal canal. Some men worry when they notice that the erect penis has a sort of angle to it. This is perfectly normal. Please don't worry about it. The skin sac or scrotum may have enlarged blood vessels on it. These we call varicoceles. That, too, is nothing to worry about. One testicle hangs lower than the other, and that's normal. I had one man who was panicked by the fact that he suddenly realized that one testicle was much lower than the other. And he told me that he thought he was abnormal, despite the fact that physicians had examined him and had told him that he was perfectly all right. And when I asked him what his worry was, he said, "You know, I thought we were supposed to be symmetrical, and one of my testicles hangs much lower than the other." And I said, "That's perfectly normal. If they were side by side, you couldn't sit down." And he felt much easier once he was reassured that this is a perfectly normal part of his anatomy. The testicle measures about an inch in thickness, and it's made up of such very fine tubules that if you were to stretch the tubules out and measure them, they'd measure about 1,000 feet. And it's in these tubules that the male sex hormones are produced and the sperm cells are produced. As the sperm cells are produced in these tubules, they're pushed up into the body and stored in seed sacs or seminal vesicles. Any hollow sac in the body, if it's over-distended, tends to empty itself. If these seed sacs are over-distended, then you will have what is known as a wet dream or a nocturnal emission. This is perfectly normal and nothing to worry about. Of course, if a married man has a wet dream, I simply think it's a pity, but it's nothing to worry about, so please don't be concerned. As the sperm pick up fluid in the seminal vesicles, they come down along a tube and they enter the prostate gland. Now, the prostate gland is a muscular gland and contracts as though you were to squeeze a bulb syringe and shoots the ejaculate through the urethral canal in spurts. This, too, is perfectly normal, and this is what you can expect, and this usually takes place when you have an orgasm. It's interesting for you to know that in every ejaculate, there are from 200 to 500 million sperm. And you remember I told you that it was very important to have this large number of sperm, as they are needed to form the chemical substance which dissolves the covering of the egg to allow the one chosen sperm to enter the egg. As soon as the sperm enters the egg, the type of individual that's going to be, from point of view of inherited characteristics, is determined then and there. The type of individual that child is going to be is dependent upon the environment the child comes into. If a child is loved and wanted, that child grows up much more securely than a child that is an accidental intruder or is not wanted. And please do accept the child for the sex he or she is, because sex information and education actually starts the minute a child is born.